Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Greeson. Welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Jim Lancaster. How are you, Jim?
You know, I'm doing wonderful, Robert. Thanks for having me.
And Jim is the president and CEO of Landtech. These are the founders of the stretch wrap entire industry and also case handling as well. So let's talk about what the company does, and then we're going to talk about overcoming challenges later in the interview.
So Landtech makes, first of all, stretch wrap equipment. And stretch wrap equipment are the machines that actually wrap pallet loads of material that help that material get from where they're manufactured through the distribution channel to the grocery store or to the home improvement store. So something like 70 or 80% of everything you buy at your local grocery store or at your local convenience store or home improvement store comes across that Landtech piece of machinery on the way there. And our job is to keep that product from getting damaged so that you can actually purchase it and it looks good when you pull it off the shelf. We also make case equipment, and case equipment is basically takes a knockdown box like you would use to move and automatically sets it up, tapes or glues it, and gets it ready to put the product in it. And then we also make machines that will close it and robotically load those cases. So real automation and helps operators not have to do those hard and tedious jobs.
I want to talk about challenges, and you have a whole philosophy that was outlined in your book as well on lean management about challenges. But talk about, like, currently the topic right now is there's all sorts of challenges: scarcity of raw material, labor shortage, demand. Everything's changed in COVID management as well. But you have a unique philosophy. Talk about what your philosophy is, and then talk about how that manifests itself in a problem like this. And CEOs will want to learn because all CEOs have challenges all the time. And really what's so interesting is it's portable in a sense.
I think so. I mean, it's really a problem-solving principle. And the problem-solving principle is that 90% of the energy in problem-solving is understanding your current condition, understanding where you are right now and what's the situation going around you. Most of the press and most of the hoopla is about what's the idea or the new thing you're going to do or the new direction. That typically is the easy part once you really understand what's going on around you. So in my case, when we're problem solving with something that's going on inside the organization, I go right to the problem and I try to understand and see with my own eyes exactly what's happened. So data is really important, but so is looking with your own eyes really closely and really spending your creative energy trying to figure out how you can see the problem differently than other people. When it comes to problems, or let's not call them problems for a minute, let's just call them changes that are going on in the world around us. So when there's a big change in the world around us, for example, in 2008, when the demand drops precipitously for capital equipment, you have to really, in our case, we had to really understand where is the change happening? Where is it not happening? Be very, very clear. Today, you know, we've got significant challenges. In our case, we've got huge demand increases because of the demand for automation that's going on. We have huge labor shortages that are going on. We have the desire to change the work environment all at the same time as people are starting to free up and be able to come back to the office. And we have scarcity issues in the supply chain. And so the question is not just in general, what do those look like, but what do they look like specifically? And to chart that out and understand how that's impacting your business before you decide what to do. And then after that, to get really specific about what the actions are that you need the organization to focus on. And when you can get them really specific, they become actionable. And then lastly, what are the principles that we're going to use as an organization as we attack these problems? So in our case, you know, the principle of open, honest communication with our customers about what's going on with us with regard to supply chain issues or backlog increases, et cetera, are really, really important to continue to accumulate trust with our customers and our channel partners. It's really important that our functional areas inside the organization don't start fighting as we get loaded up and have a difficult time producing at the level that our customers demand. So they have to stay really well connected. And so we have to do physical things in the way we run the business on a daily basis to keep the different functional areas, sales and operations, manufacturing, accounting, connected so that we don't get disconnected and we start looking like we're not all on one team, just as an example.
So, Jim, that's really, in a sense, a very counterintuitive idea. You're right, because everything that's glorified are the answers, the solutions. But what you're saying, the core, is getting to systemic problem. Now, you say use your eyes and use data. As a CEO, talk more specifically, like, what's an example of how you used your eyes to uncover what the core problem is? Because it's not always so easy.
No, it's actually really challenging, and I think that's part of the reason that a lot of leaders don't do it. It's much easier to say, well, you know, the problem could be this or it could be that. So, for example, we have a turnover problem. If we have a turnover problem on our shop floor with people that are leaving, you know, we can read data about it. I can listen to team leaders and factory leaders and managers talk about why folks are leaving. There is no substitute for walking into the area and talking to the people in the area and watching how they're behaving. I really would emphasize your eyes more so than using your mouth, even in your ears, because when you watch people's behavior, that's not always the same thing as what they're going to tell you. There's all kinds of dynamics that go into what people want to communicate to you that don't necessarily get communicated when you actually watch how they're behaving. What are they doing when they walk into the facility in the morning? What do they look like as they're walking in? Are they happy when they're walking in there? Are they miserable? Do they get happier during the day or do they get more miserable during the day? You can watch the way they're being treated. You can watch how hard they're having to work. How frustrating is it for them to get what they need to be successful during the day? So there's a lot of things you can pick up with your eyeballs that are much more difficult to get sort of out of data or get from asking people questions. I'm not saying those aren't important. I'm just saying I think eyeballs are underutilized in problem solving.
Now, it's so true. I remember Bill Marriott once telling me, I was asking him about how do you know who's a good manager. He says, well, I always walk the floor. I go to every hotel. And that's like 3,900 CEOs. And he said, I looked them in the eye. I said, well, what are you looking for? He said, I want to see if they're looking down, because I call a group meeting, and if they're looking down, they're looking at the name pads, and they don't know their people's names. Here is a question to you. When you're looking and observing, Jim, are you doing that one-on-one, or do you suggest you do it from afar and try to see what's going on? Because a lot of times if you go one-on-one, well, you're the CEO, and people are probably going to close up.
So first of all, when I'm observing, typically I'm trying to observe a process, not a person. And typically if you're getting ready to observe something, what you do is you talk to the person. You go, here's why I'm here. I'm trying to understand what's going on in this area, and I'm trying to understand what the difficulties are. I'm trying to understand how we can improve this. I'm not here to judge your performance. That's not what I'm trying to do. And while they don't trust you necessarily at the beginning, if you watch and you observe and you take notes, and the notes you're taking and that you ask for clarity around are about actions being taken and frustrations that they're having, they clearly start to see you're trying to understand what's making their job difficult, as opposed to you're trying to figure out how to play gotcha with what they're doing wrong. So part of it is what you learn over time. When you start observing how things are done over and over again, you realize that most people, 99% of people, want to do the right thing. It's just that the environment they're put in makes it difficult for them to do the right thing. So observation is really, really important, and it's very up close. Observation from a distance, I find, is not very valuable. It's about the details. It's about how hard it is to pick something up. It's about the furrowed brow because they don't understand because the training didn't work. It's about the attitude of the person on the other call, on the other end of the phone line that calls them. It's what they're being asked to do when they're already full. It's those kinds of things that you have to understand so you can deal with them. And then that builds leadership trust when you do that and then you react. And then obviously for me, the job is to teach other people how to do that.
And on that note, we've just all listened and we've heard from Jim about the whole concept of how you actually observe and how you understand what problems are at the core. We're about to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about innovation and we'll talk about culture. Back in a few.
Hi, I'm Robert Reese, and I want to personally thank you for listening to CEO Show. In 2007, I had a vision, and I started interviewing CEOs because I believe CEOs had the answers that could help all of us to both building businesses and to personal success. But there was really nowhere to hear their unfiltered secrets. So anytime you want to listen commercial-free to CEOs from the founder of the Home Depot, of JetBlue, Build-A-Bear, Chobani, and hundreds more, just go to CEOshow.com and you could listen commercial free. I'd love to hear your personal feedback also. So if you have any recommendations of CEO guests you'd like to hear, you want to receive our free weekly newsletter, or you have any recommendations on how we could best serve you, our listener, just email John at theceoforumgroup.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Robert Greese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're speaking today with Jim Lancaster, who is the president and CEO of the famous Lantac in Kentucky, who is the founder, for one, of StretchWrap, the entire industry. So let's talk now about innovation. That's one of your innovations, another case handling. You have about 300 innovations. What is the core to effective innovation and building a culture of innovation?
Well, I'm going to really go back to what I talked about before the commercial break, and that is the actual invention or the idea is not the hard part. The hard part is getting in the right environment and focused on the right problem so that the invention matters. So in our case, we focus a lot on getting into the environment where the customers are using our product, or in the environment, in our case, the very back of a warehouse or a factory where things are being packaged and prepared for shipment. That's our world. Where is the movement waste? Where are the safety issues? And we want to go to our customer's location and see what do those products look like when they get there? What does the pallet load of Coca-Cola look like when it gets to the distribution warehouse coming from the bottling plant? What does it look like? The brand is represented by what it looks like. And if we can see areas that the package is not performing, that's an opportunity for innovation. The opportunity to get rid of hard and tedious work saves labor, but it also keeps people from having to do work that's not fun. And we can see that in those environments. And so then our innovation comes from trying to solve those problems. We've had a lot of really unique opportunities to solve really, really cool problems, but I think what differentiates our ability to continue to innovate over now almost 50 years is we continually put the discipline in place to be in the right place so we're going to see the problems that we need to solve.
Give an example of what one of those problems that you solved and what occurred from that.
So it wasn't long ago, we make a semi-automatic machine. And this machine has a turntable that rotates, and an operator will go grab a piece of stretch film, pull it out of the mask and attach it to the load, walk back over and hit the start button and stand there and watch the load be wrapped. And then they'll go back and get on their fork truck and pick the load up and take it off the turntable and go put it in a truck. What's interesting is if you have a lot of fork trucks showing up to put loads on that turntable, pretty soon you get a traffic jam around the stretch wrapper. And so we're sitting watching this traffic jam around the stretch wrapper, and we're watching an operator that should be driving and delivering products in the back of a truck just standing there. And we said, wow, if we could figure out a way that that operator doesn't have to get off his fork truck, that all he has to do is pull up, drop the product on the turntable, back up and go do something else, we'd save a tremendous amount of time, but also all the safety risks of getting on and off of that fork truck all the time. So we came up with a way to automate that system on the actual piece of machinery that doesn't add a tremendous amount of complexity. It doesn't require air. It doesn't require a whole bunch of more motors. It's really ingenious in that it uses the power of that rotation that's already there mechanically to automatically attach and also cut the film at the end of the cycle. So it's something you kind of have to see, Robert, to really understand. But it was from being there and seeing those problems and seeing the waste that was going on in the usage around our equipment that caused that innovation to happen.
So as a leader, how do you manage that? You talk about casual metric versus results metric, and you have this concept of accumulate value that I want to talk about. How do those tie into managing the actual culture?
Let me back up just a minute and talk about accumulation. So accumulation is made up of two things. It's of improvement, so how fast you can make improvement or acquire technology or acquire skills, right? And everybody's focused on that. The second part, which is enormous, is the management of erosion. Most any process you put in place will over time deteriorate. It deteriorates because a part changes, or a person changes, or a customer changes, or the temperature in the room changes, whatever. And the process that was put in place before that delivered perfect quality stops delivering perfect quality. And for a while, what happens is the operator makes it work. They fix it at the end, they do whatever, until that doesn't work anymore, and all of a sudden you have this big problem. And now you're solving a problem that you had fixed 5 years ago, and so your improvement is just refixing something you fixed 5 years ago. That is the biggest issue with accumulating value, accumulating productivity, accumulating margin, accumulating relationships, comes from not managing that deterioration. So our entire management system that is set up from a daily basis is around managing that deterioration. And the way you manage deterioration is you have micro metrics on performance that you measure every day. And the first time they move off a standard, they move backwards, you problem solve right then and there. Even if it looks really little and it's not going to make a big deal, you manage it right there because it never turns into a big problem you have to resolve again. It's all hairy with all kinds of variables. It's one variable because you did it right on Wednesday. The fact that it was wrong on Thursday is pretty easy to put it back like it was on Wednesday. If you let it get big, it's really, really a challenge. So in our business, in every functional area, there is a process every morning where we're looking at the metrics of the prior day, and we're seeing where there's variability in those metrics, and we're solving the problems from that variability. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about order entry, electrical engineering department, our accounts receivable, accounts payable, shipping, where we're obviously when we're in assembling or welding or painting or any of those areas, we're watching. And that system moves all the way up to me every single morning, so that if you have a problem and you need to get it resolved and your current manager doesn't have the control breadth to fix it, it goes to the next layer up. And these happen in 10, 15 minute increments in the morning. So by 10:45 in the morning, the entire organization has been connected together as it moves up for problem solving. And we're solving literally hundreds of small problems every single day. And that's the biggest reason we've been able to improve so rapidly, and our margins have improved, and we've been able to increase capacity without adding as many people, is because we're solving hundreds of problems every day by having a management infrastructure in place to do that. That's a lot in a few minutes, but it's a very powerful system.
I want to tell you, I interviewed a lot of CEOs, probably close to 1,000 by now. It's just you've a different way of thinking. I learned something from every CEO. One thing I just gained from you today, like the first CEO I ever interviewed 13, 14 years ago was David Neilman, from the founder of JetBlue. And I learned from him you have to have belt and suspenders. And even today, we're putting out one of our big magazines. We get 10 top CEOs. I got in 11th. Waiting in the wings just in case something doesn't happen right at the last minute. But everything I do is from that. But I've learned from you, I mean, several things, but one is about the altitude. What a concept to make sure. So many times I think I'm even personally at too high an altitude.
But where that comes from is ownership. So if you own the responsibility for the communication, if I'm trying to help you accomplish something or get you to pick up the ownership for something and it's not working, I'm not blaming you for it. I'm going, dang, Jim, I have not done this right. Let me try again. Let me try going up. Let me try going down. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with you not having the skills yet to be able to accomplish whatever I'm challenging you with. That's my problem. I haven't given you the skills yet. And so it's my responsibility to have you ready and have you successful and to give you the work chunk that you can be successful with. Because if you can be successful with that work chunk, you're going to want the next one and you're going to grow faster. If I give you too big a pizza and you can't eat it, then you're not going to grow. You're just going to get frustrated and you're going to blame me for this stupid organization because you can't get work done and you're going to go somewhere else.
It's great. It's all about the CEO taking accountability, and that's how you build a culture of accomplishment.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Alan Trefler. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing well, Robert. Nice to see you again.
And good to have you back since the pandemic between our last interview. So as many of you know, Alan is the founder and CEO of Pega, formerly Pegasystems, a billion-dollar company that really has reinvented a lot of what is done in technology. Talk about what your original vision was when you came up with Pega. It's 1983.
Well, the original vision was, I think, the conjunction of two things. First, we took a look at the way that businesses, particularly larger businesses, were running their business processes, and they were really ugly. Lots of manual steps, lots of customer dissatisfaction, and we thought there was an opportunity to streamline processes, make them more effective, and sort of crush the complexity in those organizations. The second element was who should do the work. Our vision was that it should be model-driven. It should be what today we call no-code or low-code, that basically business people should be able to take control on how the technology was deployed, how it ran, and how it performed as operations.
So the concept of low-code, which you were really a core pioneer of, that's hard to adapt because people are then saying, wait, I'm going to have to do the work. What were the challenges you had to overcome to get clients to adapt that? Because then again, you were just a new company to boot with a crazy new idea where now it's ubiquitous, but then it was completely new.
Well, you know, I'll say now it's ubiquitous, but it's very, very diverse. You know, there's lots of stuff out there trying to pass for low code that, you know, we don't see actually hitting the real richness of what enterprises need. The important thing to be able to explain to the customers is what is the mental model that you need to go through to be able to create an understanding of how you want your business to work. Yeah, I could give you an analogy if you want that your audience might find interesting. So, you know, part of what motivated us in the 80s was that if you looked at the manufacturing industry, there was the beginning of what was called computer-aided manufacturing or computer-aided design, where people who wanted to create a piece part, the people who wanted to create a bottle or a jar or a gearing, they would actually draw a picture of it, a wireframe picture. And from that picture, you could actually begin to create and manufacture the actual physical part. And, you know, today, of course, it's gone so far that with 3D printing, this is not a mystery. You can go from concept to picture to execution trivially. Yet in software, you couldn't. So creating that mental model of how to model the piece parts of your business, get them organized in a way that meets customer need, that was the important thing to be able to explain to clients.
And what's really interesting is you're at the intersection of the human element and technology. And I think that's one of the great breakthroughs that you frankly have brought to society.
Well, I think that getting people, ordinary business people, to believe that instead of having to go to sort of high priests of technology to be the scribes for what their computers want to do, that they should be able to have control. They should be able to explain to the computer what it is they want and actually get, frankly, our software to write the software that will run their businesses. That's a massive change from a manual coded by hand sort of philosophy.
And let's talk about how that's working in as we emerge from the pandemic. As we all know, this is a one-time opportunity in our lifetimes when everyone's going back to reevaluating their technology. Every CEO I know is saying we're going to move into a new era. What is the integration of the human element that you brought in with the future of technology?
Well, I think CEOs are realizing that they need to have people who have business skills and business understanding at the controls. That having those people just, quote, say what they want and have technologists deliver it, or just relying on purely packaged solutions, hasn't worked for them. You know, everybody talks in the IT business of what they call technical debt. Technical debt is what enslaves companies to be not agile, awkward, unable to respond. And these low-code ways of thinking, particularly done at an enterprise level, can empower the business and the business people to think differently. And we're seeing that that's what CEOs want.
And what CEOs are talking about day in, day out is transformation. And they know they're about to ride a new wave. No one knows what it looks like, but they know they're going to transform. What advice do you have to CEOs on how they engage their people in a humanistic way to transform their organization?
You know, I'd go back to the old saying, give me a fish or teach me to fish. I think that the CEOs need to recognize the transformation is not a check the box one time thing, but it's actually a way of thinking of business. It's a way of thinking of business that's inherently more agile with business people in charge. And that requires what we sometimes like to refer to as a build for change mentality. The organizations themselves need to learn to build for change, not pretend they're going to put up some, you know, technology edifice and, you know, be praying to it for the next 10 years and it's going to work for them.
And that's actually the name of your great book, Build for Change. It has to do a lot with the whole customer interaction as well, the human side there.
Well, customers are continually either challenging organizations or demanding that organizations change. And organizations that can, that have that intrinsic agility, they have an enormous advantage. Now, some companies are able to do this by being able to financially support staggering numbers of software engineers. You know, think of an Amazon or other company that just spends ungodly amounts of money on technology. But frankly, outside the top 20 businesses, they just can't afford it. They need to think differently about how they're going to get a culture of change insinuated into the organization and able to really empower technology change at a completely different pace and with completely different leaders.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Alan Trefler, who is the founder and CEO of Pega. We've been talking about the whole no-code, low-code, the future of a human element in technology. So now I want to ask you, mistakes. What was a major mistake that you made that you learned something from? Because you don't just grow a billion-dollar business from scratch.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. We're a billion in revenue. You know, today almost any business can get, quote, valued a billion, though it's not clear what that means. You know, what I think we learned was that this applied to many more organizations than we first thought it would. You know, when we began, we thought that this was really something that the most sophisticated and the largest organizations could take advantage of. And they have. I mean, I'm thrilled that my first two clients from, God forbid, 1984 are customers to this day across massive technology changes. You know, it's B of A and Citibank. But the thing that I've also learned is that there are thousands of companies in the U.S., and thousands of companies globally that not only can take advantage of this way of thinking, but need to take advantage of this way of thinking if they're going to deliver quickly and they're going to deliver in a resilient and responsive manner.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. When we come back from the break we're about to take, we're going to talk about life-changing moments that a self-made, super successful man like Alan Trefler has had and what we could learn from him. Back in a few.
Would you like to host your own radio program or podcast? Park City Productions, 06604, is a Bridgeport, Connecticut-based radio broadcast solutions company. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Park City Productions, 06604. Call us at 203-522-8255. 8801.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-29.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again,
877-279-9422.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Alan Preffler, who is the founder and CEO of Pega, one of the true pioneers of low-code, no-code, and an expert, really, in digital transformation. So let's talk about life-changing moments you had. Now, you had all types of things. I know your parents were Holocaust survivors, and then you actually became tied for the world championship in chess when you were like 19 years old. Let's talk. What, when you think of what changed your life, what would you say those biggest elements were? One story.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, my father did survive World War II in Europe and came over and established a family and raised a family, you know, frankly, working with his hands. And I had the privilege of going to college, and while I was in school, I got to be a pretty strong chess player. I actually tied for first place in the 1975 World Open, which was a, let's just say, a New York Times reportable event and a pretty big deal. But, you know, I think what I learned is that if you're going to become a good chess player, you can't just learn. In fact, it's impossible to learn from the games that you win. You really need to understand how to objectively and humbly look at the games that you lost or the games that you should have won that maybe you only drew. And, you know, I think one of the important lessons in business is to always be learning whether the advice you're getting is brilliantly presented or perhaps a little crude or whether the situations are enormously painful or jubilant. There's always lessons to be taken, and you need to be categorizing them, understanding them, looking for the patterns.
That is a great piece of advice. So then I'll ask you directly for one example of one of those lessons where you did have a challenge, you did have a mistake, and you learned something from there.
Well, you know, it's funny because we started our business really before venture capital was prevalent and the, or really prevalent at all. And the result of that is that we had to truly bootstrap this. And, you know, one of the hard lessons that I learned was that, we needed to buy a computer. You couldn't just go out to some, you know, Google or Amazon service and rent it. So we put a staggering amount of money together, a couple hundred thousand dollars together, and we went out and we got some credit from a bank, and we wanted to buy this computer for $320,000 so we could do our work. It was enormously important, and it was a very lean time. And what I learned is that when you really need things, you get to find out who's on your side and who's not on your side. The bank didn't even bring the loan in front of committee. We ended up not getting the loan. We ended up having to basically, in effect, nearly mortgage the entire company and every nickel that I would make for the next X years to be able to buy this computer because we couldn't get credit then, but still needed to go forward. And, you know, the bank asked if we would be continued interested in doing work with them any further. I'm happy to say this is a bank that no longer exists. And, you know, of course, once you've had a disappointment like that, regardless of the excuses, you really get insight into the character of the folks you're dealing with. And I think it's very important to be both insistent and work hard to be a judge of character, because ultimately it's the character of the people we work with, the character that we choose to show, particularly in times of stress, like under this pandemic, that I think are reflective of not just real values, but ultimately what will make us successful in life.
That's interesting when you talk about character being at the systemic core of what will help you become successful. How do you personally, as CEO, judge character? You're hiring people all the time. You have two clients who you've had since, you know, like 37 years or so already, right? Which is tremendous. What do you do when you're speaking with someone, Alan, to really judge their character?
There's an author named Lencioni. Lencioni's written a number of really great books that I think are important for entrepreneurial organizations, particularly in tech, to read. And one of them, which is The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, I think really creates good transparency to the types of things that can cause pressure on teams as they grow. But relative to your question about character, I thought that his quick characterization of the three elements of finding a real team player, and I think that's true, whether it's a team player on your team or somebody you choose to work with as a partner, as being the three characteristics of humility. You have somebody who really listens, understands how they can contribute, understands where they have chances to improve. Are they hungry? Do they really want to achieve? Is achievement important to their sense of self? And people smart. When they engage with people, will they do it in a way that's credible and constructive and honest? I think those are three elements of character that I've certainly been looking for in the people that we bring on as a complement to the other things. I mean, you can have people who are enormously skilled, but if they're weak in, you know, humility or people smarts or you know, the other elements of character, it's going to be a disappointment.
If you could give me a snapshot, 2025, when we look back, you are, I mean, to me, a real visionary, Alan, in fairness, and I've interviewed like over 1,000 CEOs. So if you were to give a snapshot of what will be different in the world by 2025, what would you say that would be?
I think some things will be the same. You know, we will, for example, I believe, have resumed our, you know, we were going to have a 7,000-person event last year in Vegas, in Boston, and obviously that wasn't possible in the pandemic era. I think we're going to go back to some of these gatherings where you get that enormous energy and that fluidity where people can interact with each other. But I believe we will have retained the positive lesson about being able to traverse space and distance and not having to have everybody fly in for meetings all the time, not having to go and, you know, do extensive travel or insanely organize a visit. I believe we will have learned as business people how to take advantage of digital technology. And I believe our businesses will have become more efficient because things that we used to kind of do in a stuck together or manual fashion are unquestionably being automated and managed better at scale.
And there you have it. Alan, a pleasure speaking with you again.
Thank you very much. Look forward to doing this in person.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.